And I shall remove my glasses, which I don't need for vision's sake. I need them for
recording in progress.
Like blue light reduction.
Oh yeah.
So like staring at the screens for too long gives me extra nausea. Which is yummy and delicious and fun. So yeah, I'm recording by the way. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just started.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, it kind of sucks. She's not like too bad, just dealing with headache all day. And we had a pretty busy day with OT, the daily cup of genre, and life. We've had a busy week, so it sucks because it's a year now for this show. Happy anime-versary. Yeah. Nah, that's lame, but yeah, dude. It's crazy. Almost like we really enjoy doing this or something.
It flew by.
It did.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until you texted me.
Yeah, almost like how it flies by when I say, welcome to the Anime First Reviews Podcast, everyone. LRM Online's Genreverse Podcast Network animation show. We're, you know, all we're going to do is obviously review anime stuff. It's sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation. More on them a little bit later in the episode. LRMonline.com, genreverse.com are the websites. I have actually seen the pages, guys. They are being worked on. As proof, you can go by the at the genreverse on Twitter and see the ridiculous amount of tweets the automated crap has been spitting out, and it's not. Some of them are on point, and some of them aren't, but we're working on it, and we hope to have that going in the next few weeks. The Genreverse Podcast Network is available wherever you get your podcast from, Spotify, Google, Apple, all that good stuff. Follow us if you're listening and you're not following or subscribed yet, and then of course we have the brand new Genreverse podcast on YouTube. So yes, subscribe there. Help us get our subscriber count up, that view count up, so we can keep giving you guys this shit for free. I'm Kyle Malone at the Kyle Malone on Twitter. Christine at Adorable Doom. She's not feeling well, dealing with headaches, like I said. But Brian is here, and Brian has a YouTube channel you guys should check out, Pulp Mythos. So yeah, dude, how's it going?
Going, man. Late week, tired.
Yeah.
Just got off work.
I hear you. I hear you. And you work with kids, so.
I do.
Whew, man.
Yeah.
yeah, that's pretty much all you could say. Like we had just mentioned, dude, it's been a year. We started because of Dr. Stone and my insistence for, God, what was it, about 6 months, that this was like the greatest anime you, Brian, had never seen. And yes. You watched it, and I even gave you a warning because I know those first five eps can be kind of slow, you know.
You kept saying that, and I was like, nah, it was,
they're fine,
it was good. Yeah.
But they can, like, now like sometimes I'll just go back and like watch episode 6 on for a few, you know, like I sometimes go all the way back. But yeah, we started this show to review the Stone Wars.
Yeah,
and here we are a year later, about to review how I think it should be pronounced as Sabiki, because yous are often silent, but not always, and my grammar in English is odd, so I'm not even gonna try. But yeah, Sabiki Bisco, which
I call the show Bisco.
Bisco. Mushroom Man Eater. Crazy
that
mushroom
movie,
show, you know. Yeah. Crazy mushroom anime. But dude, just over a year, your anime consumption's been more than the last 10 years.
Yeah.
What's absolutely. That? What's that been like this past year for you, dude?
It's been great, actually, because, you know, look, I'm into comic book stuff and science fiction. I'm into all kind of different genre
of
entertainment, horror, yeah, everything. And the last year, really nothing, very little has come out that I've cared about. And so anime has become sort of that extra thing that's just like it's there, it's original. That's the big word, key word, original. Just solid content, you know. And yeah, I've enjoyed it. And you know, we've revisited some old stuff that I had seen in the past. We've watched a lot of new stuff that I've never seen. Mm-hmm. A lot of great movies. Like rewatching Escaflowne, that was great.
Dude, you know,
that brought back the memories.
The new dub alone was just worth it.
So yeah, it's been fun, man. Yeah. It's one of the, not only do I look forward to the recordings, it's just sitting down and enjoying the anime. Yeah, that's a highlight of my weeks, honestly.
That's awesome, man. That's exactly what we get out of it as well. And I know some would consider my life glamorous, but if I have earned this lifestyle, trust me, I've paid for it in ways I wouldn't wish any but the worst kind to have to suffer for. But I have a lot more time to consume anime. I remember when I first kind of, you know, rediscovered things with Dr. Stone, getting into it, man, I just went on a tear of new stuff, old stuff. Christine and I started getting into the, you know, more risque stuff. Like, it was insane the amount of shit I was just consuming. Some of it literally shit, but it's been a lot of fun. Christine's gotten a really big kick out of it and gotten to explore new genres. I mean, Miyako-chan was a huge just sleeper thing on us that Christine just suggested, and wow, was it not just a top-notch pick, just like you and Megalobox. And I'm not one to go towards sports anime, which is great because it's not really a sports anime.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The first season is pretty much a sports anime. Second one, not as much, but yeah. They're great, and I love it. So, but let's go ahead, and as soon as I can find my pencil so I can write down the timestamp, let's go ahead and talk about fucking Acid Trip Mushroom anime, dude. Like this I found from the Gigguk Garnt from the Trash Taste podcast and stuff, as well as his own channel, Anime Zone used to be called back in the day. He was doing a reaction to 2022 winter trailers, and I saw him react to this, and I was like, wait, what the fuck did I just see? So I went and watched the trailer myself, and I again had to say, what the fuck did I just see? And I sent it to you, and I was like, yeah, and you were like, yeah. So a kind of initial reaction, man, to that trailer, and then this episode, this the 800,000 yen, man.
Yeah, the trailer is insane. I mean, it's a great anime trailer, and as far as this episode, a little slow up front, but a lot, they're having to build a world for you, you know, and that last 5 minutes, you're just like, wait, what? Like, there's just, it's crazy. Would this, have they dubbed it yet, Rust Punk? Because I watching it, I was like, it's, you know, it has sort of that cyberpunk vibe, but it, you know, it's all the rust stuff. So I was like, is this Rust Punk?
Maybe.
I don't know. I just thought that'd
could be the thing. Could be the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know. No, man, it's just it's a trip and a half from the trailer to the way this thing opens up. Christine and I are watching it, and she goes, when the explosion happens, she's like, what the fuck was that? I was like, Akira.
Same thought, 100%. Yeah.
I was like, they're back.
Yeah.
And then, we noticed what I'm guessing is that statue thing that you see in the trailer. We noticed something kind of come up through the smoke in the middle of the explosion, and when it kind of zooms, there is a figure of something there. I think it's probably that thing, but who knows? What one thing you guys might have noticed for Brian and I and Christine, if you're new, thank you for being here. But we will read manga. Brian's got a collection of manga. I've got collection, but these shows that we find, we're not coming at them from having read the mangas, I was going to continue on to different words. Anyways, we haven't read the manga, and we go into these, you know, kind of blind in yeah. a way of not just preserving surprise, but kind of keeping this from feeling more like work, I guess you could say.
Also, I don't want to, it'll taint my opinion, you know, whether I say, oh, the manga's better or yeah. vice versa. So I want to sort of approach the anime from just watching the anime and see how I feel. Now, when they're finished, you know, obviously yeah. I can go back. Or if they cancel it.
Exactly. yeah. If it's not going to get... We were all yeah. like, yeah, if Miyako Chan does not get a seat, that's buying it, reading it.
yeah, 100%.
Dude, so getting into the actual anime itself, man, just kind of... What'd you think of the fucking art and the flow of it? And what's it reminding you a lot of?
Well, aesthetically, when I mentioned... you know, the cyberpunk idea, or rust punk, as I'm dubbing it. If it hasn't been already, it should be. There's some imagery, especially in the trailer, and even in this, you know, almost a Final Fantasy VII, you know, I was getting some little vibes of that. The sort of the overarching, well, the animation I love. Really cool animation. When the action hits, it's really intense and wild. A lot of cool visuals, like the governor's henchmen having the rabbit heads or whatever the hell.
Yeah, man.
Wild stuff. But one of the things I'm really excited about is the fact that there is somewhat of a time constraint. Like, people are getting sick, right? And this rust poisoning or whatever the hell is happening. So they're trying to find a way to help that. So in other words, there is Dr. Stone, you know, there was sort of a time limit on, you know, they were worried about, if you haven't watched Dr. Stone, but the enemy destroying something. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that. But in this, like, people will die if yeah. they don't figure it out. So that's going to be interesting to see how that affects the storyline and how, you know, desperation will set in.
Yeah, the setting is really, really unique and kind of one of the things that I like, because and I'm hoping that it continues to be a bit different, but post-apocalyptic worlds, they can be kind of, I don't know, bland and stale, and this feels like a relatively recent post-apocalyptic world. And yeah. I mean relatively recent, you know, we're not looking at hundreds of years or anything like that, not that we can tell it, at least. And the idea of this country, and we don't know what else is going on in the world, and we don't know how deep this will go, but you start even wondering, like, wonder what happened to America, to Australia, what's China doing in this world. But I kind of like how, even though it's all thrown around timeline wise, I'm pretty sure we're looking at a fairly decent amount of time between that gate and the city. I kind of like the way it was laid out, but it was so nuts, you know, like, I don't know how to explain how crazy it was to
the originality watch this. Is what I love. Like, they could have taken the lazy route and, like you said, a sort of a post-apocalyptic type, and there's a desert and everything. So they could have done sort of the Mad Max things, mm-hmm. like completely, or, you know, what Fists of the North Star sort of did, which
yeah.
I'm a fan of. But they didn't, you know, they, like I said, a lot of the imagery, and especially the stuff with the mushrooms and everything, is just wild. And so, you know, they took a concept, you know, sort of this apocalyptic thing that we got the desert and everything. They're applying this sort of weird rust thing to it, mm-hmm. and these mushrooms. And now you have something that's new. You know, and that's the thing I was praising anime earlier for, that you can give them a concept that's been done a million times, and they're going to find a way to do it in a way you've never seen done before. And that this is that.
Yeah, the rust thing, I think is a really interesting point, and something that I caught on early, because we watched it twice. Why did I do it that way? We watched it twice. God, Kyle. Every time I have to show, like, count fingers, I'm aware of what I'm doing because of the damn Inglourious Bastards scene. and you and I both spent time in Germany, had German friends and all that, and grew up seeing this almost as much as you see this or see that. But anyway, that's neither here or there. The rusting is something that isn't just you're trying to hide from. It's there. A guy has to go and work in it. And he's like, yeah, I would love to not, but I have no choice, you know, in order to provide for my kid here. And he's covered in the rust and stuff. Milo's sister, Pawu, she's covered in rust, and she's a guard, you know, an elite guard for the city. So you assume she's been exposed to it. So it's like this environmental hazard, almost like kind of what we've got now. And I saw that the manga illustrator, this is his only illustrations work. And it came out, let's see, April 2019 through March 2021. So no, you couldn't say that this was influenced by the pandemic, but man, you can kind of see some similarities with like an environmental hazard, if you will, that completely changes your world. You kind of have to live with it. But it's kind of weird.
Yeah. And it was interesting. He pointed out that it was getting to his sister's heart. So I'm assuming as it spreads, when it hits those vital organs, similar to cancer, it hits those vital organs. That's when you know,
like
you're in trouble.
Rust hits a vital like crease or joint on a metal structure.
Yes.
Interesting. So, you know what? This will be a good chance for us to take a quick word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation. Come back into this, talk a little bit more before we touch on the art and the music and wrap things up. So anyways, Grow Generation, man.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Good.
Come back.
I was already back. I was prepared to grab the audio, like cut the commercial, anything for comedy.
And I bumped my camera, so if I don't know how it looks right now, it looks like. My head's cut off. I don't think it is. There you go.
I got a potential solution for you. I'll tell you about after we're done recording. One that'll actually mean make your life actually easier. You wouldn't have to record anything, but we'll talk later. Getting back to thanks Grow Generation by the way, and whoever I put in the ad this time. Getting into some of the like story elements of this, you know, dude, we've got the event that blows up in Tokyo, unleashing this rust that, you know, rusts metal and people, at least. We see animals, hippos in Japan, I'm guessing from zoos, you know, from zoos or something like that. And private collections. I hope no one has that, but it's the modern world, so who knows? But it's just this massive event. We skip some time. There's a thing about mushrooms going on, and not a lot of explanation except that people don't like them and blame them for things. But our protagonist, known as Akabashi Bisco, I think it is something like that. He's definitely a mushroom man eater, man eating mushroom or some shit like that is his nickname on the thing. But he's our protagonist, or at least our lead. Gonna hang out with Milo, Dr. Panda, who we meet in a whorehouse, brothel, whatever you want to call it. It's so weird to kind of get introduced to these characters in this situation, because you're stuck wondering. There's images of giant crabs and dude, you're what the fuck, you know?
And you didn't bring up the archery. You know, he's a master archer.
He's a master archer, and his arrows, whatever they touch, turn into goddamn mushrooms. So yeah. It's this just crazy thing, but we do meet Milo, Neko something or Neko something or another. Dr. Panda, he's got discoloration over his left eye, and he's a very pretty man, and comes into play later in the episode in a very funny way. I like it. It's cool. But he is taking care of patients for multiple things in a brothel, and the funny conversation going on in there. I love the lady of the house just yapping and about the vision or dream she was having and what an omen it was, and the working ladies there just kind of chatting, and play on what's going on behind the curtain with Milo and his patient. It's a fun moment and a good way to introduce the character, what he's doing, and kind of the city too. Like, they're in a crappy situation, but they can make the best out of it, and they can't offer him much money, but she does offer him something on the house, and to see all the girls like volunteering, pick me, dude. I thought it was a really cool introduction to the character. What did you think about that?
Yeah, the second, well, I was like, he's a doctor and all this, and I knew you'd be a fan, and I knew that was gonna be great. I wasn't sure how, you know, they only have about 20 minutes to sort of set everything up, so I was very curious to how much we were gonna get, because you have sort of the description of what the show is. Mm-hmm. And so basically this is just laying out, okay, these are the characters. They also, the story really hasn't kicked off yet, basically.
Mm-mm, no.
And so, you know, I was curious to how much we were going to learn, but this was basically world building. Hey, this is how the world is. These are the characters you're going to be hanging out with. A few, you know, the governor at this point is like, okay, is he good? Is he bad? I think there's sort of some mystery behind that. At least that's the way it felt.
Hey, but as far as the comes off very crime bossy, but yeah. Hard times sometimes call for hard, you know, sometimes the ends do justify the means, but we'll find out.
But yeah, the doctor character, yeah, he was fine. Good introduction.
I like the governor's henchman.
Yes.
Not only does it bring things about like Umbrella Academy to mind because of the masks themselves, but kind of the city, and you claim, you know, rust punk, steampunk. I almost kind of got some Rapture vibes. They also had some masks with rabbit ears and some twisted stuff, but the idea of a crooked businessman in this city that's walled off from other places, people with true good intentions, like the little sister's doctor in the BioShock game. So not a lot of similarities, but just enough, like I said, including the steampunk rust punk type things that you saw here, like I guess, you know, something that kind of caught my attention. The governor's, you know, discussion with Milo kind of gets interrupted, and he's trying to synthesize drugs from mushrooms, which is why the two characters going to meet. But the fight, dude, like the actual archery and movement, the music and all that, it was really, really cool, really, really fun, and still really, really fucking crazy. And like, dude, I'm thrown for a loop with the giant snail fungus looking thing on the airplane, and then jumping, and like, God, it's fucking nuts.
Yeah, because it's like a world that's familiar but not. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's enough in it that's bizarre that you're just like, you know, what is this and why? So yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that you didn't care for, man? Like, it's too early for us to be like, oh, this is a masterpiece. If you know, there's not a lot of substantive stuff as far as story to really get into, or even characters other than the doctor with the ladies' night. That was cool. That was fun. His sister, she's the guard, and she's got the rust really bad. And she wants to go out and fight Bisco, and then Bisco himself, who shoots mushroom arrows. And I mean, there's going to have to be some penis jokes, and there was definitely what looked to be at least one phallic mushroom that was a little, not little, but it was shaped pretty penis like, and I just, it's a crazy fucking show, dude. Like, where is this shit gonna go, man? What?
I don't know. No idea. Yeah.
But was there anything you didn't care for here?
It's a little slow for the first half. I know it sort of needed to be, but I don't know. Maybe you're only getting one episode. Like I said, it's just, it's not gonna feel complete.
Yeah.
But I think you if I had one complaint, you go in, when you get to the end of the episode, I still have no idea what's really happening. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, I don't know. I don't know how they could have really fixed that. I'm sure it'll be rectified by the second episode, but
it feels like, sorry.
Like I said, this is one of those where you probably need two or three episodes mm-hmm. for it to really get going.
That's what I was going to say, is it seems like they're putting a lot of faith in just the, okay, and then bringing people back, because it's kind of bold, like you said. They don't give you a lot. It's all imagery. Like, that's right now what kind of, that and the promise of giant crabs and cyclop monsters with big giant red eyes.
I'm glad that wasn't in the episode, because because based on the trailer, you're 100% right, based on the trailer, you want to come back, just because you're like, well, I see what's how crazy it can get.
Yep.
I want to see that stuff. But yeah, as far as knowing what's going on, no, you really sort of don't.
The only thing I can kind of gather is likely that the mushrooms probably have potential for a lot of good. There was that lady, or maybe it was a lady, I'm not sure, talking about embracing the rust, embrace death, and stuff like that. And some people are afraid of mushrooms. The mushroom dealer at the restaurant is talking about the mushrooms. Tasting mushrooms is like tasting heaven before you die. And so I'm guessing they're probably going to be helpful in some way. Where it goes from there and how helpful, I don't know. I mean, rust, navel jelly, like, isn't that what our dads used to use on, like, cars and the lawnmower? I think that's what it was called, to help get rid of rust. And then you gotta actually sand that shit out. Dude. Art. This is an interesting show, and along with it, so some interesting art. Like I said, everything from what looked to be like a snail on the front of that plane, didn't it, yes, Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
I was like, a snail? What the fuck?
That was a question I had, and they, yet again, they don't answer.
No, nope. And giant crabs.
Is this a world in which large creatures existed? Or is this a world that, because of the event, now we have large creatures? Because there's all kind of giant dogs and all kind of shit just hanging out. And that was a thought I had too. I was like, huh.
And the hippos. It's got to be zoos. It's zoos, right? I don't know. We did see kangaroo in Arkansas. Nowhere near a zoo.
This is true. Facts, people.
I-440 headed west. Goddamn dead kangaroo on the side of the road.
I swear.
I don't want to laugh.
That was no deer. Kangaroo. Well, it was great. Complete sidebar, but we both saw it, and we both came to the same conclusion. Yeah, like, was that a kangaroo?
It took a minute, because I don't think either one of us really wanted to admit it.
Yeah, that was wild.
Oh man, that you know, I gotta say, yeah. Before we get back to finishing up with the art and music, a lot of people, it's sorry, laughing so hard I started tearing up. A lot of people dream of doing the cross country road trip. We did it.
Yeah, we did. Never thought I would.
That's where that happened.
But we did.
Yeah. You, me, and two cats.
Yes.
And Kevin Boy. Smith's comedy stand-up stuff.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was awesome. Though that was fun.
Oh yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Ooh, Tennessee to Arizona, man. Jeez. Anyways, so the art, it's crazy. Like I said, the illustrator for the manga has only got this manga to his credit, so that's pretty cool, man. And to get picked up for an anime and get some buzz, enough buzz that it caught the attention of a big time YouTuber, us. No. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I hope it I hope it gets as good as it looks like it can be, you know.
Yeah.
The music, you don't get a whole lot here. We get our opening, and we'd heard the theme song, in, or at least what seems to be one of the, probably the opening theme song in the trailer. I like it. It's fine. It's serviceable, but it's too early to talk about all of these things with only one episode. And it's also why we won't grade it today, because, you know, I decided we would only grade series at the end. And then movies, then, because, well, only one. Anyways, Brian, any final thoughts on on the first episode of Sabiki Bisco?
I'm just looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
So you can see what the hell's going on here.
So this is coming out on Friday for you guys, and the show releases at like midnight something Japan time, becoming Tuesday, which is like still Monday afternoon here. Not quite sure, but we're going to try to fit recording in a little earlier and get you guys these reviews for the show.
I think we can do Tuesdays.
We could probably do Tuesdays.
I think Tuesday, do Tuesdays.
Release Wednesday. So yeah, guys, hopefully we'll be able to do that. And if not, you know, deal with it. Still come back, subscribe, and all that good stuff. Websites are lrmonline.com and genreverse.com. Every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. All of the podcasts, Animeverse Reviews, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, Breaking Geek Radio, Daily Cup of Genre, all of those and more go up on our podcast network. I mean, guys, we're pumping out a crap ton of stuff for you guys there and on our YouTube channel. And don't forget LRM's regular YouTube channel for celebrity interviews, red carpet, Zoom, even some on-set interviews, roundtables and things. It's all really cool and fun. Brian, what do? Talk about your channel.
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, and I talk about shows like 1883 and Dexter. Just did the season finale, so check it out.
Nice. All right, guys. You see the social media information? Now see the exit video. Bye.